Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. It is cold and chilly outside. It's nice and warm in here, and we'll spend the evening studying and looking at a few things from God's Word. We are continuing learning important verses in the Bible. And why are we doing this? Well, God wants us to have His Word in our heart, in our mind. And why does He want us to do that? So we will live it. We will act it out. It'll mold us. It'll shape us. It'll protect us from the evil one. We've looked so far at the four corners of God's Word. Four verses there. The Roman road to salvation. We looked at laying up words in your heart. Some reasons why we are to do it and how we are to do it, and we'll look at that some more later. We've looked at some passages on the Word of God. We've looked at some on prayer, on inner peace and security. And tonight we're going to look at some on praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Just a few on that. As I was looking for slides, I saw this one. I thought Allie might like that one. So that's why there's this little girl singing up here. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and we will get in to the lesson. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and I'll start reading at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's a lot in that one verse from different things that I have read in the original. Verse 1 to verse 12 is all one sentence. I don't know how you could break that up. We have it broken up in our translations, but it's like Peter is so excited. He is telling us so much as he opens this letter. And that should be like an exclamation point to our lives. It's a verse of praise. It begins with blessed be. It's a verse of worship centered around the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a verse of joy, for He has given us a new birth and into a living hope. It's a verse of victory based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And when we look at learning this verse, it's easy again when you think through how things are broken down in the verse. So Peter begins with, blessed be. And as I said, he doesn't stop that one thought till he gets down to verse 12. The reason for this excitement is God's great mercy. Peter had sins in his past, and we can think of them, of the ones that Peter had, his different sins, and he could have kept beating himself up. But why didn't he? He knew that his sins had been washed away because of mercy. Because of mercy. Our God is a God of mercy. And that leads to the exclamation, He has given us a new birth. We have a chance to start over. Clean. You think about a baby being born so innocent. We are born again. All of our sins are washed away. Jesus again told this to Nicodemus in John 3, telling him, you must be born again. Well, that new birth, that leads to a living hope. Peter wasn't just talking about something, some fuzzy, nebulous thing that you can't grasp a hold of. In the next verse, he describes an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, unfading, kept in heaven for you. And we should have this yearning to go to this place, this eternal place, where there's going to be activity and worship in heaven. And how are we able to do that? Because of God's mercy. And that's why we should praise Him and worship Him and give Him thanksgiving. And it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus died, He assumed the guilt that belongs to all of us. He assumed your guilt, your sins. He assumed my guilt, my sins. And when He rose, He defeated sin. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And He's victorious. And it's no wonder when Peter starts this letter that he is so excited and he begins with blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now you stop and think about this. Was Peter there with Christ at the time of the resurrection? We know when he was in the garden, and then Peter followed Christ when the soldiers took him away, and Peter denied Him. Christ was crucified. Peter saw the resurrected Christ. They have the discussion. We read in the end of the Gospel of John about Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" How much time had passed from that resurrection to when Peter was writing 1 Peter? Well, that would have taken place approximately around 33 AD, something like that. Peter, most people agree, was written about three decades later, about 30 decades later. And you just see the excitement and the peace that Peter has remembering that resurrection. It was like it just happened yesterday. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All of those sins that Peter had committed had been wiped away, and all of our sins can be wiped away. And the resurrection is the pivot point on which Christianity turns. If Christ had not risen from the dead, we would still be lost. We would be without hope. Let's look at another verse to help us with praising and worshiping and thanksgiving. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 100. And I'll read the psalm, and then we will look at a couple of the verses. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 100 is very short, but again, a very exuberant, a very exciting passage in the Bible. It takes just a few seconds to read, and if you read it over, we're just going to look at two verses, but if you read it over every day, as short as it is, in no time you'll have this psalm memorized that helps us have joy and understand how we are to come before God. And notice there are no negatives in this passage. No sorrows, no warnings, no problems. It's just about shouting and singing and knowing and being thankful. And notice the imagery of this psalm in verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. What are these gates and these courts that He's talking about? This would have been written with the temple in mind, and the glory and the majesty of the temple. And David talks about entering its gates with a thankful spirit and come into the temple with courts and praise. So does that apply to us today? We don't live in Jerusalem. We don't go to the worship or go to the temple to worship. Does it apply to us? It sure does. When we come before God to worship Him, to praise Him, we should make a joyful shout to the Lord. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Do you ever notice people that just walk around and they're singing, they're humming, they're singing, they're happy. They're happy. That's what we as God's children are supposed to be like. Why? Know that He is the Lord. He is God. He made us. And not we ourselves. We owe everything to God. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And being the sheep of His pasture, what does that call to mind? If God is our shepherd, He's going to take care of us. He's going to protect us. He's going to give us everything that we need. And again, we should praise Him for that. We should enter His gates with thanksgiving. Sometimes you look at people and I think, I won't speak for others, I think sometimes people don't have a thankful bone in their body. They complain about this, they complain about that, they grumble. It's like life is miserable. Friends, a child of God should not be that way. Especially even if we have problems, when we come to worship God, we leave those problems of the world out in the world. We don't bring them to God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. How can we praise God when we're thinking about all these problems we have and complaining about what God has given us? You know, people complain about the weather. They always have, always will. Who gave us the weather? God gave us the weather. God gave us everything. We need to be careful when we complain. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name, for He is good. He is good. So this is a song of praise. That reminds me of a song. I've heard it sung several times. It's not sung too often. It's a beautiful song, but number 532, all people that on earth do dwell. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, His praise forth tell. Come ye before Him and rejoice. The Lord, ye know, is God indeed. Without our aid, He did us make. We are His flock, He doth us feed. And for His sheep, He doth us take. You see how this song was taken from Psalm 100. Oh, enter then His gates with praise. Approach with joy His courts unto. Praise loud and bless His name always, for it is seemly so to do. For why? The Lord our God is good. His mercy is forevermore sure. His truth at all times firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. Friends, this is a great psalm to learn. Looking at the whole psalm, but especially verse 4 and verse 5. 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You stop and think about His mercy. And again, there are pictures about God's characteristics explained with water. We sing the song, there's a fountain free. There are many things that have to do with water. But with God, this verse, 100 verse 5, shows this inexhaustible fount, the Lord's goodness. It's like a stream, a brook, a spring that is going to keep bubbling forth and never go dry. It's an ever-flowing stream, His eternal love. His love has always been, it always will be. You think about an ocean. I can't comprehend how deep an ocean is, how much of the world is covered with water. And at some points, I'm told the ocean, it's like 3 to 5 miles down to the bottom of the ocean. It's, I wouldn't say it's not bottomless, it's fathomless, it is so deep. And that's his ever-enduring faithfulness. You just think about how faithful God is to us, how merciful. And you can take this psalm also and break it down and outline it in two ways, or in two points. Verses 1 through 3 tells us to praise God with gladness. We're to shout joyfully. And if we're told to do that, do you think God's going to accept our praise, our worship, if we don't shout joyfully? If we just come in ho-hum, offer up God whatever we want to? No, we learn from the book of Malachi, we can't give God our leftovers. He wants our best. He deserves our best. Verses 1 and 3, we praise God with gladness. Verses 4 and 5 tell us to praise him with gratitude. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. What do we think about when we come to worship on Sunday morning? Do we think about all the stuff we left back at the house to do when we left? Or do we think about all the things we're going to do as soon as we leave worship service? Or do we come together with our brothers and sisters thinking about all the things to give God thanks for since the last time we met? We are so blessed. We are so blessed here. God watches over all of us. We could slip and land the wrong way. That could be the end of us. God watches over us. He watches over each and every one of us. We are so blessed. We should be thankful. Gladness and gratitude, that shouldn't just be limited to when we come together here. That should be part of our life. And we express it in everywhere. And when you start doing that, people are going to look twice at you. Yeah, I have started, you know, I always try to make it a point when somebody's checking out or I'm talking to somebody I don't know, to tell them thank you, have a good day, say something positive, and a lot of people just take them back because they aren't used to people saying anything positive, or they're just used to people complaining and grumbling. We should be the most grateful people there is. When you look at this psalm also, Psalm 100, there are reasons for entering his gates with thanksgiving. The Lord is God. That's one reason. He's the only living and true God, infinitely perfect. He's always existed. We just can't understand how great he is. The Lord is God. Second reason, he's our creator. For it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Without God, we would not exist. He created us. Number three, he is therefore our rightful owner and we are his. If he created us, we belong to him. And whatever he wants us to do, we owe it to him to do it because we belong to him. The fourth reason, he's our sovereign ruler. We are his people, his subjects. Fifth reason, he's our benefactor, the one that does good for us, that gives us good things. We are the sheep of his pasture. And you think of, you drive up and down the road sometimes in the country, and you see different farms and the livestock that's out there. Some of them are cared for. I told this story. It's just going to stick in my mind. A couple years ago in an area right around here, Carol and I were going home, and at the farm, you could tell the farmer didn't care for the animals. The cows were out stuck in the mud. They didn't have dry, clean bedding, and there was one calf that was loose out on the road. And we stopped and Carol tried to round it up to get it back in. Do we have a shepherd like that? No, he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. We should praise him. We should give him thanks. the last reason here why we should praise God is because of his truth and faithfulness. His truth endures to all generation. No word of his will ever change or be removed or done away with. So it's a good thing to learn this psalm. The one song I mentioned revolves around this. There are probably some others. And I'll make a challenge to you too. Let me read through this again. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I'll make a challenge to you. Take this psalm, read it every day, out loud, in front of a mirror. And you aren't going to be able to read this psalm for a month and not feel better and not feel happier when we think about everything that God has done for us. Well, let's look at our last passage for the evening. And that's in Revelation chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. When we started doing several lessons on Genesis, and I'll pick up some of those later as we get to some more characters, but when it talks about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And why did he create the heavens and the earth? Right here is the answer in Revelation 4:11. You're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We exist and were created by God to give him glory and honor. That's why he created us, not to go out and fulfill all of our selfish desires, not to go out and see how much pleasure we can have in this life, and there's nothing wrong with pleasure, not to go out and see how much money we can accumulate, and there's nothing wrong with accumulating money, but we were created to bring glory and honor to God. Back up to verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." I want you to just think about a couple different things. You know, one of the favorite places that I love to go to? Can you make any guesses what's one of the favorite places I like to go to? It's here, when we come together to assemble with brothers and sisters to worship our Father, to worship our Creator. And you think, in Revelation is going to give us some glimpses into when we are worshiping our Father in heaven and how wonderful that is going to be. And we just have to stop and think. I'm just asking this. Do you think that our mindset, our character, our demonstration of worshiping God is going to be different when we get to heaven than when we are here? Do you think it's going to be different? If it's going to be different, what's going to make it different? What's going to make it different? We should be worshiping him with our all right now. Do we think we can just skate by here in this life, and then when we die and we're resurrected, it's like we're going to have this super joy and delight in worshiping God. I can't read about that. We are to have that joy and delight now. That joy and delight now. And when we get to heaven, it'll be so much greater. It'll be so much greater because we have overcome so many things. When we worship, we are approaching a glorious throne. And we are just, and I know it'll be different because we just have shadows and glimpses of what heaven is like. But we've got to understand why we are here. We are, in a sense, practicing, but it's not a practice. It's the real thing. It's not a practice where we get a do-over. We are worshiping God and preparing for when we can worship Him in heaven. This is a good text, I believe, in Revelation 4 that shows us why we exist and what our worship is going to be like. And you look in chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them that was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Friends, this life isn't about me. This life isn't about you. This life is about worshiping God. And we help each other worship God. And we help each other so that we can all get to heaven. So that when we can get to heaven, we can be with our Father and worship. And the worship is going to be exciting. We are approaching a glorious throne. We are joining with an eternal chorus. And remember, to me, last Sunday seems so long ago. But remember, we had that singing. We had that singing, and I said again, I'll remind you, if anybody wants a copy of that, if you bring a flash drive, I've got a copy on here, and you can take it and listen on your computer or in your car. I wouldn't put that on our website for a couple reasons, and one of them is because of copyrights with songs. But that was a beautiful service, and we were singing to our Heavenly Father. Don't you wish that could be where it just goes on and on and on and on, and we didn't get tired, our voices didn't get worn out. We'd sing those beautiful songs and encourage each other and bring honor and glory to our Father. Friends, when we praise and worship and give thanks to God and we make it to heaven, I can't describe how wonderful that's going to be. And when you read again, the tens of thousands and tens of thousands of angels, I look and heard the voice of many angels, the living creatures, the elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice. And why are they singing? Because God is worthy. He is worthy of everything. And again, verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Why? Because He is worthy. Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So notice 4:11, God created all things. In chapter 5, what's going to be worshiping God? He says, every creature in heaven and on earth, everything is going to give honor and glory to God. And why? Again, so we get this in our heads. He's worthy of it. He deserves it. And it's only our reasonable service that we do this. And people want to get to heaven. I hear people talking about, oh, it's going to be so great when I get there. Well, what are you going to want to do after you've been there for an hour? Are you going to want to leave? Are you going to want to leave and stop worshiping God? Why do I say that? What are some people's mindset, attitude today? They as soon as they get to service, when are we going to get out of here? I got to be somewhere else. If we don't enjoy worshiping God now, why do we think that we would enjoy worshiping Him in heaven? Why do we think that He would want to take us there to worship Him if we don't want to? He has a place prepared for those that want to worship Him, and He has a place prepared for those that don't want to worship Him. It's up to us. But this worship, it's like a gyroscope. And I don't know, I've flown a couple times with a buddy in a small plane, and he would explain all the instruments to me on the dash. And a lot of times you can get disoriented and you don't know if you're flying upside down or how you're flying or whatever unless you look at those instruments. And worship is like the gyroscope for our soul. It is going to guide us to heaven. It is going to direct us to heaven. And if we don't worship God, if we don't follow Him, if we don't let that worship be that gyroscope, if we don't align our minds with God's word, we could be flying upside down and headed to hell. We wouldn't know because that worship, it brings our hearts and minds back in tune with God. Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Friends, here's a few verses, four verses tonight to add to our list to help us learn the Bible. Again, the purpose of this is to help us not just skim the surface of God's Word, but this year, where we take some verses, we repeat them for our scripture reading, we study them through the week, we spend a couple minutes on a Wednesday evening, and you'll see when that Word starts getting down in your heart, it'll change us. And that's because of the power of the Word. That Word will transform us. We are constantly being changed by what we put into us. We need to put God's Word into our hearts. Friends, do you want to go to heaven? Are you working to go to heaven? Are you working? Are you doing what God told you that you need to do to go to heaven? None of us are going to get there by accident, and He's laid out what we need to do. And you just stop and think about Peter, where we started back in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, our Father is so merciful. We can be forgiven of our sins, begotten us again to a living hope when we are baptized. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient, We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.